is the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. It is the Out of Sight Podcast. It is Dio Royster. It is David Early. I am sounding a little bit nasally. Part of it is the sinuses that I've been dealing with pretty much all week. And then the other part is crying because of the depression, finding out that Joel Embiid had an MRI, and it looks like there is a meniscus tear. David, here we go again. I say this every year around this time of year, pretty much exact same time of year. You could set your calendars to it. Why can't we have nice things?
Can't have nice things. We have to do another one of these podcasts.
All right,
an,
so
an MRI podcast. Ugh.
All right, so Joel did not look good after coming out of the game against the Warriors in the fourth quarter. So the oh no's and the Jesus Christ already start. My whole thought process was, okay, hopefully it's just a tweak. Sit him until the All-Star break. We'll manage after that. But now with this MRI, which revealed something, I was reading and noticing something like Shams reported it a tear, but then he deleted that tweet. So now I'm just like, okay, what the hell is going on? What's the official news that I may have missed?
I think that the team wanted to get out there that he has an injured meniscus, which is a little more vague than a tear, right? And so, you know, we got multiple reports that they were collecting as much information and talking to as many doctors as possible to figure out the right form of treatment. I did once have an MRI on a bad knee, and they said, we didn't spot anything, but we suspect your meniscus might be torn. And I was like, well, how do you not spot it? And they said, yeah, sometimes the meniscus is the one thing that you don't always see if it's torn. So
the meniscus is hiding. Get out of here.
I guess that is actually possible. And that's probably why we were left hanging on word, because maybe they didn't spot something, or maybe they did and they weren't sure if this was general wear and tear. I mean, he did have a surgery on this meniscus back in 2017. You remember the 2019 season, he dealt with left knee tendonitis for, I don't know, the better part of the second half of the year.
Right.
Into the playoffs. And we even got those words that into the next season in 2020, he was still ramping up because he had to spend so much of the summer resting, rehabbing. So there is a history here of this left knee. And he came into that game with what I suspect was left knee tendonitis. It's just a shit show, and there's a lot of blame to go around. Maybe we need to do one of those blame pie charts.
Sure. Okay. There's a couple of different categories that we could go here. Media.
Should we start with LeBron?
Yeah, let's start with LeBron first. Let's start with LeBron first, because you mentioned him at the top of the pod, but I've been out of the loop on LeBron craziness. Like, the last thing I heard was some wild nonsense about, like, it would be in his best interest to get traded to the Knicks. So I'm just like, no, stop it. What were you referring to?
LeBron, the king, has just spoken. As we're recording this about a half hour ago, LeBron tweets, where are all the media outlets, TV media personalities, hot takes that talked so much, poop emoji, about Joel Embiid, about missing those games when he knew what he was dealing with?
Exactly.
Follow-up tweet. Now he's out with an injury because of it. Not one person has went back on TV or their dumbass podcast and apologized to that man, all caps, exclamations. No accountability. Trash.
Of course not. So, of course they're not going to do that. Of course they're not going to hang back and retract anything they say that has gotten them views, likes, retweets, anything. Of course they're not going to do that, because it makes them look like what they really are, which is absolute fucking hacks and schmucks.
Yeah, Brian Toporek for Liberty Ballers wrote a piece basically calling out by name a handful of people who were really going in on this Joel is ducking Joker narrative. And,
yeah,
you know,
let me go in on Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith and all those guys in the world, okay? Kendrick, Stephen A. Okay? Stop.
A little homework, just a little homework.
Knock it off.
You'll
Kendrick?
realize that two of these years since 2019, he was not able to play. He had a bone bruise and hyperextension in the left knee 2021, so that game was out in Denver. Then the following year, he literally had COVID. He was deemed ineligible to play. Two of these years that everyone's talking about him ducking, he couldn't have played if he wanted to. And then the next one, you and I talked about it on the pod, they had this double header and they pushed him last year. And then he wasn't able to go in Denver after looking like a shell of himself against Phoenix. So I was really relieved, as were you, that he was sitting in that Denver game. And now
Right.
this year, where everybody seemed to think he was ducking because of this narrative where people really just didn't do their homework. But the reality was far more grim. It almost reminded me of, remember when Sixers fans were saying Ben Simmons is ducking playing in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
And it turned, and he only played like 10 more total games ever since. So chances are, if a guy's not playing, you can hold on to your ducking narratives. There probably is more of an injury issue than you're aware of. And LeBron is talking about that because a lot of people, including the boy, the guy that you cited, Kendrick Perkins, was just, you know, basically pushing this narrative that he's scared to play Joker. And then as soon as it happens, we're like, oh, no, he's seriously hurt. This is really bad.
This is the tweet from Kendrick on January 27th. It's like, quote, Embiid hasn't played in Denver since 2019. Come on now, big fella, Joel Embiid. Stop ducking the smoke and staying on business today. Carry the hell on, end quote. Kendrick, you say that nonsense, and then you find out that Joel is actually legitimately hurt. So you and Stephen A, I'll get Stephen A in a second, both of you, stand on business every day and do not miss a day of work for the rest of the calendar year, because I'm going to be paying
just
attention.
Liberty Ballers too.
I'm
going to
be
you.
Paying attention. I'm going to be paying attention. You miss one day of work for whatever reason. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if
ducking
you're
the
hurt.
Smoke.
I don't care if you're injured. You come on the air every day and go to work like you tell these guys to go to work. Okay. Embiid is an MVP. He was an MVP candidate, and then Stephen A comes in and he's like, oh, Jordan played 82 games this many times, Bird played 82 games this many times, Magic, etc., etc. All right, cool, fine, good for them, golf clap, way to go. Okay, this is
yeah, I mean,
2024.
You're comparing him to some of the greatest smaller Iron Men in league history, like,
right.
Come on.
And I'll even go as far as to say this. Okay, you want to do that? Fine. But like I said, I'm watching you the rest of the calendar year. You take a day off, and I swear to God, I'm roasting you on Twitter, because you're out here trying to dictate how a man should dictate his body during the course of his career. If you're going to do that, then you stand on business when I call you out for doing the same goddamn thing. You're sick, you're hurt, you're injured. I don't care. Get your ass in the booth, because you know what? You want to dictate how somebody else should do their job and handle their body and their health. So you know what? Tarma's a bitch, and I'm coming at you full scale, full stop. I don't want to hear that shit anymore.
Oh, amen. Just get
sick
on
of
your
that. Sick of that.
Go to your producers and say, look, you guys pay me $1 million a year. What does Stephen A make? And then you don't have some producer, some fact checker, some intern to just give them the information. Just
seriously,
hop on libertyballers.com. We've got you covered. If you're going to go on TV and say something about Joel, just read a little bit about what's going on. It took me like 2 hours to compile, you know, every game that he's ever missed in Denver and looked at it and was like, okay,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, okay. There are legitimate reasons.
Yeah. So, all right, but let's move on, because the media is just a small part of it. And Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer, I think she intimated that maybe Joel was pushing to play, right? And then there was a report by Sam Amick of The Athletic suggesting that there were some in the Sixers organization who felt Joel pushed to himself to play, maybe hearing some of the noise.
For the 65 game minimum and all the scrutiny.
Yeah, and that's kind of what a lot of, like, Draymond Green has said, the 65 game minimum is stupid. You got guys out here, pushing themselves too hard for this arbitrary award. If you play 64 games, you can't win MVP, but 66 is fine. You're the MVP. So clearly this was a stupid idea. On the other hand, as long as we're doing some blame pie, you didn't have to go for it. And if there was any good checks and balances system, it somehow, some way, Joel slipped through the cracks of their medical checks, then someone has to have some, like, in-game responsibilities to say, hey, he doesn't look right.
And we talked about this on the podcast before. Like, Joel lets this get into his head and he feels like he has to. Dave, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Big fella, you got your MVP. You're probably going to go down in history as one of the top five Sixers of all time. If nothing else, and he just wins a championship after that, Dave, we're fine with that.
I mean, we've been saying prioritize the playoffs since 2019 or so. And, something's just not sticking for the franchise. And it predates the Daryl Morey era, although Morey hasn't been any better at it since compiling a team to get through to Joel. And we have picked up some clues as to the Sixers' process for this. Nick
Yeah.
Nurse, after the game, said that, like, there are certainly checks there in place. Joel goes through a check, the med staff clears him. Joel has a large input on that d decision, and if he says he's good to go, you tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, parentheses, my words now. He did come off a swollen knee and drop 70 against the Spurs. I guess he barbecued Orlando. So it wasn't like you could dismiss his word if he said he felt fine. The problem is, what happens when he clearly doesn't feel fine, tells you he feels fine because he wants to be a warrior, he wants to get in all these games. But we have this history here of, Drew Hanlon and Ramon Shelburne talked about it in 2021. Remember when he missed that All-Star game with a close contact COVID thing? Ben was out too.
Yeah.
And as soon as he came back, he was disappointed that he'd missed the game and missed some time, and he wanted to show the world he was the best player alive. And in his first game playing in like 9 or 10 days, he tries to dunk on a couple people and hurts his knee. And so we've had this, thing in the backdrop where Embiid, obviously he's not ducking Jokic, but if you did want to lobby a charge that Embiid is going to hate, it's that he hears the noise too much. And I did think it was interesting that someone was speaking to Sam Amick and suggesting the same thing from within the team. Because if I was Joel, I'd be like, yo, don't go to the media and talk about me hearing the noise too much. That's the last thing I want. That's the last perception I
Right.
want out there.
I want to be able to manage my career on my terms. Like, don't like if you think this is true, come to me and we'll discuss it. Like businessmen, like colleagues, whatever.
Yep. Morey just got an extension, and Nurse is on a 4-year deal. So I don't think either of them would be worried about deflecting blame or job security. But someone in the Sixers organization felt like a lot of people are looking at us and the med staff and the training staff, but maybe they should be looking at Joel. Like, is
And
that the implication of that type of leak?
if that's what he's standing on, and if that's if we can find that guy, first of all, he needs to be fired from the organization, number one. Number two, we should drag him up and down Broad Street by his ankles and just be like, the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah, don't talk to Sam Amick about how Joel hears the chirping too much and pushes to play when he shouldn't.
Because that's
Because
only going to make it
if he feels
worse.
it's only going to make it worse. This is the beginning stages of what disgusted Kawhi Leonard so much that he didn't want a supermax to stay in San Antonio. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was the big reason why he didn't want to stay in San Antonio because he was getting criticized all damn time because he wasn't being allowed to heal and manage his body the way he felt necessary.
Yeah, now we don't have literally, like, you had Pop, I think you had Buford, you had Manu and Tony all calling Kawhi out and saying, Tony tore his quad and he's out here. Where are you? As if he didn't have a chronic long-standing injury And Kawhi was just appalled. He was like, "Yo, you guys don't have my back. I don't even want the extra $75 million to stay here anymore."
And
And
to the
we're not at this point yet, but as we do start to look at that Joel Embiid trade request clock, it's things like this that, going back to the Ben Simmons saga, it's always little things first that turn into big things later.
And to his teammates' credit, I guess I haven't heard them saying anything like what Tony Parker or Manu
No,
or
no.
Pop or anything like to
Because he
their
is trying to
credit.
play. It's the other way around. He's trying to play more. Kawhi might have been being conservative and careful. That actually wound up working out for him pretty well because he won a championship in 2019 with
Maybe.
this coach, Nick Nurse.
Maybe it's Tobias or Pat Bev that needs to come in and just like, yo, big fella, something ain't right. We're good. If we're okay, if you just want to sit this one out, okay? It's just Golden State. We're fine. We're trying to win a championship. Just rest. We got this. It's fine. Heal up. We're good. Don't worry about it. We're good. Joel, I swear, we're good, okay? We need you at 100%, okay, for the playoff time. Because you see what Boston's out here doing. You see what Milwaukee's out here doing. We need you for those two teams come playoff time. Heal up. We'll be good. We'll be all right. No, Joel, take your sneakers off. We're good. Okay. Put on your civvies. We're fine. Chill on the bench. Have some popcorn and soda. We're fine. We're good.
And all right, so we've done the media, we've done the NBA 65 game rule as part of that. Obviously that's a silly cutoff. We've done Joel, maybe hearing the chirping or pushing too hard for regular season accolades or whatever, trying to stay eligible for MVP if that's what he was doing. If you buy some of the stuff that came out that he was pushing to play because he heard the noise. But on the final buck probably should stop with the Sixers themselves. And you and I were a little worried before the year began when we heard Nick Nurse saying things like, "We look at load management a little bit differently. We want Joel's games to go up." And I was like, "Well, up? Don't you mean down? We want
Yeah,
his
right.
regular season games down." And Kyle Newbeck popped on the PHLY pod and was like, "The Sixers have seen in the past that if Joel misses a game, he can get in and out of shape pretty quickly. And so that's why they like him playing more. And the ideal is they toast someone by the third quarter and he gets old school load management." But I didn't love that idea either because it seems like at some point or another, these checks and balances, if you somehow get through and you trust Joel to say he's good and you let him play, don't you have that final guy who says, "Oh my goodness," and Newbeck pointed this out on his most recent pod that I heard, 3 minutes into that game, we could all see that he wasn't right. And every single reporter was tweeting, like, "Joel's out here, but it doesn't look like he should be. He's hobbling." There's no one on the Sixers bench who can say, "Dude, even though
Yeah.
you've been cleared, even though that you want to play and say you feel fine, we can see that it's not the case." And there's just not that final check. So I don't know
You
where the
should
buck
be
stops
able
for this organization.
to see within like at least the first quarter of that Golden
We
State
could.
game where, 'cause I was watching that game, I was like, "Oh, wow, that's not something's not looking right." Like if I can see that on the television, like
If
somebody
us
on the
non-doctors are sitting here saying Joel Embiid
Yeah.
just buckled, even attempting to contest a shot, he shouldn't be in tonight.
Somebody
He
on the
could.
bench needed to be like, yo, we should probably take him out right now.
Yeah, someone could have said, "Hey, I saw a tweet from Ramona Shelburne the other day that he couldn't jump before Denver, and now it's only 2 days later. Maybe he shouldn't be."
Like Adil Royster, Sixers 12th man on the bench. Like I'd be going to training and just be like, yo, he don't look right, man. Like something's off.
Not to toot our own horn, but if libertyballers.com is free for everyone, should we be charging $1 million a month for the Sixers to have access? Because all they'd have to do is hop on, see a few of our tweets in the first quarter. "Hey, Joel shouldn't be in this game. He's hobbling." And someone could
Listen,
say, "Oh, shoot, maybe they're right."
we've talked about this before, how like if the Sixers want to just like look at our live tweets, we will give them full access to it and just like, yeah, we'll put it on a scroll for you as you're like watching the game
Give
in
us
house in Camden or something.
$6 million for 6 month access, and any time that we're saying, "Hey, get him out," just factor that into your decision making a little bit. Now, maybe, you know, Nick
I don't
Nurse is
know. I don't know if
saying,
they have $6 million laying around because you know Josh Harris may be going flat broke after buying the Washington Commanders. You could see he's not rolling in dough when he makes Dan Quinn the head coach.
the man interviewed Belichick and then hired the coach who Belichick barbecued in the Super Bowl. I wonder what the decision-making process was there.
So
I
yeah,
feel like he's got
maybe you
his.
won't get 6 mil, but like they could kick out 600 grand. That's fine.
And then it cost him 75K because Embiid wasn't listed questionable in that Denver game because apparently he insisted he was fine and didn't want anyone trolling him for being on the injury report. But he's an injured meniscus. We don't know if and when he's going to be back. My guess is they're determining whether or not rehab is going to be sufficient or if he's going to need a cleanup procedure. And if you want to do a cleanup procedure, to do that sooner and get it over with, even if that's a 6 to 8 week process, it's 2 months, blah, blah, blah. It's just we're in this like hamster wheel here on the Sixers with load management. I mean, it was the same with Harden last year. You see him go to the locker room hobbling, and you come back and you play him 30 more minutes, and then he misses
Yeah.
a month. And
It's
then
hard. It is hardened all over again.
at the end of the year, he hurts himself playing Chicago, and you leave him in until 47 total minutes. Now he has to miss 4 more games with the Achilles that you played him on. They just don't have someone in game to say, I know you're cleared. I know you're out there. Sit your butt down. Maybe they just don't have the leverage. Maybe they don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the hashtag heat culture to get through to these guys. I don't know. But if they had kept Jimmy Butler, you feel like a guy
It
who,
always comes back to Jimmy Butler with you.
you know, like he's a good example of a guy who does not make every All-Star game. He certainly doesn't make every All-NBA team. But then every time May rolls around, he tends to be in that Final Four as one of the five best players alive. And you're like, oh, prioritize the postseason. Why don't we have a guy in-house who can get through that message to this franchise and Joe?
All right, let's take a little break, come back, and then discuss like what's next. What do the Sixers do? What do we think they should do? Since we are, you know, trained media people that do their damn research before saying wild shit. So we'll come back after the break and then we'll discuss what's next. This is the Out of Sight Podcast and the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. This is the Out of Sight Podcast and the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. David, I have woosahed after my little tangent earlier in the podcast. I apologize for all of the cursory language that was displayed in Act One, but now we're at Act Two. I'm a little bit more level-headed. I'm a little bit more measured. I'm not going to say any crazy stuff. Dave, you know me well enough to not do that, at least not all the time. So, what's next? So the range of injury time I've seen is 4 to 6 weeks. It could be 4 to 6 months. We just don't know how bad of a tear it is. Regardless, me personally, shut it down. Without 100% Embiid, you're not beating Boston or Milwaukee anyway. Shut it down.
So you're with Kendrick Perkins, shut him down for the year?
Shut it down.
Because
Like you're
rather than his mea culpa, he just went on the air and said, get him out of here for the whole season. He's never right.
Yeah. No. I'm not doing it because he's never right. I'm doing it because without a 100% Embiid, you're not beating Boston, you're not beating Milwaukee anyway. So rest up, heal up, get 100%. We'll see you in October. And that's just facts. I'm sorry. It's just facts. No matter how good Tyrese Maxey has been this season, we'll get to him in a minute. Without Embiid, there's no way they're beating Boston or Milwaukee or anybody in the West, really, that you could think of. Like Minnesota, no. Denver, no. Clippers, probably not. Like, what's the point then? You're dragging him out there and you're just making it worse. He'll be
The
30 in.
scenarios now where you have to play one of the Knicks, Cavs, or Pacers or Heat in round one have gone up. And the chances that Joel Embiid is going to be back and healthy for that series, which now might be on the road. I mean, this, let's be honest, they could slip as far as down to a play-in team. They've got like a 5-game total advantage over teams like the Heat for the 7th seed, and that's where the play-in begins. The Orlando Magic are there too, so they still have a cushion. And Tyrese Maxey just dropped 51 to help them avoid it get any worse, making his first ever All-Star debut. I'm not sure that it was a coincidence that we got the Maxey All-Star news drop the same time we got the Joel Embiid bomb. Pretty convenient timing there, if you wanted to distract at least a few casual fans from the bad news. But I don't know. I don't really know what's next. But I don't think I would shut him down for the year if he was back and healthy at some point. But you got to ask yourself, at what point? What do we determine healthy to be now? Is he suffering through like we've seen him do in the playoffs with an LCL, lateral meniscus tear, a mask and a torn thumb? Or is he going to be able to go out and dominate?
I just don't know. And it just goes back to the simple thing that he'll be 30 next month, and
Oh.
he's a big dude. Like, this is his knees and his feet and his ankles, this is only gonna stand to get worse. And I'm not out here saying, oh, before anybody populates this, I'm not saying, hey, we should probably trade Embiid, get what we can. No, it's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, next season, everybody has to come to a consensus that if he don't look right, he ain't playing. We don't care what Joel says. We don't care what the media says. We have to hire somebody. We have to hire an adult in the room that's just like, look, Joel don't look right. I don't think we should play him tonight. At the
I'll
very
tell you
least,
this.
they got to have that guy on staff. At the very least.
Yeah, they don't have that guy on staff, and if they have him, they're not listening to him. If I'll tell you this, if I were someone like Pat Riley or Leon Rose, and I had my eye on Embiid, if they lose in the first round, whether he's out there or not, I'm gonna get in his ear and I'm gonna say, "Look, we know you're a warrior. We know you want to play every game, but it's year after year," and I would try to put in his mind a lot of blame on the Sixers. I would say, look, the Sixers haven't found a way to get you there healthy. They don't stand up to you when it's clear you're not right. Someone should have pulled you out of that Warriors game. We will do that. And he might be a little bit more amenable to that message. I'm not saying he'll necessarily ask out. Maybe the Sixers keep their draft picks and keep their cap space now. Maybe they feel like, hey, we don't have that pressure to go all in for Embiid's prime right now with this significant of an injury. And maybe that resource, those resources to improve, gives you one more season with Joel before he starts one getting a wandering eye, right? I don't know. Or maybe he can come back in 6 weeks and you've already got some extra help. You go get a, I don't know, a Brogdon or a DFS or whatever, and he appreciates that, and you can re-sign that guy for an affordable price, yada yada yada. But I would absolutely be salivating over the idea of pitching Joel. The Sixers have let you down. We will not. And just see if that sinks in over time, over the course of the summer.
Any talk of trades is totally dependent on the outcome of the diagnosis. If he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, that's one thing. But if he's out 4 to 6 months, then there's no reason to make a big like splash trade, right? Even for like a Brogdon type or a Caruso or something like that.
Yeah, my guess would be they want to give this every chance to for the swelling to go down and heal on its own and see if they could at least punt a potential surgery to the offseason.
An idea that I
But
absolutely hate, by the way.
yeah, but if you decide to have the full, meniscectomy or whatever it's called, then yeah, he would be looking at a prolonged absence. And if I were Daryl Morey and I had a million algorithms anyway, I would certainly punch in the idea that maybe it's better to maintain your cap space and your picks and just go all in for the summer when you'll have another healthy year. It sounds like a quitter's attitude, but ultimately for a championship, maybe that's the best path. I'm not honestly sure yet. It depends on how he's
And
feeling in 2 weeks.
I know I'm coming out here with kind of a quitter's attitude, like, shut it down because we're not beating Boston, we're not beating Milwaukee. But like, at this point, at this stage of Joel's career, like, we won a championship from him. Like, that's it.
That's it. I mean, yeah, the idea that he needed to play in 65 games for an MVP was just like immediately gross to me. Like, I was like, oh, is that going to be a priority? Surely it won't be.
The biggest joke that I heard about this whole thing is just like Joel is like all of us. He's running out of PTO days. I thought that was kind of funny. Like that was cute. I like that one.
Oh, I'm not ready to laugh at those jokes yet. And
Yeah,
the doomer part of me is thinking, if I'm Paul George and we flame out, I mean, the Clippers, let's be honest, they kind of look like a super team some nights. So I don't think they're going to flame out in the first round. But if they had a disastrous playoff run and they don't extend him and he did want out,
well, they shouldn't
would.
flame out because Doc Rivers isn't their coach, but that's beside the point.
But, the point I was making is essentially. Do you, if you were a star player, would you want to hitch your wagon to Joel, knowing that there's a high probability he won't be ready for the 2025 playoffs when you'll be there, maybe 37 years old?
I don't know if I wish, I don't know if I would hitch like a 4-year wagon to that, but like a 2-year
Yeah.
wagon with big money, I might do that.
But these guys are not going to want, I mean, someone that good is not going to want a 2-year deal, I
Yeah,
wouldn't think.
that's the catch 22 of that whole thing.
At Paul George's age, I mean, and he's just a hypothetical because he might just extend, but as someone that age, you want a 4-year deal, and I'd be pretty nervous to hitch my wagon to Philadelphia if your best hope for a title is Joel staying healthy, given the track record of load management and injury management in Philly.
I'm just throwing it out there because we're talking about like injured players and all like that and like people hitching their wagons for like a 2-year deal. Now I'm not necessarily against like giving Klay Thompson a little chip off the top, you know, in the off season.
Yeah, maybe
If
you
he
trade
wants
for
one more ring, screw it.
may if Zach LaVine is maybe you acquire him for a very, very good price because Chicago simply wants to unload him. Maybe you can get Caruso and maybe you can just rest LaVine, send him home with Joel and say the two of you 2025, both of you healthy then, let's go.
All right, what do you say we end this pod on an uplifting note?
Tyrese.
Tyrese Maxey, first time All-Star. Tyrese, love you, buddy. Hoping you come on the pod whenever you want. Open invitation. First time
Slam magazine
All-Star,
cover.
Slam magazine cover, 50 burger against the Jazz. Like his stock is just skyrocketing right now. It's like early days of Disney when Disney Plus came on the scene. Like it's that sky high.
Yeah, he Sean Kennedy wrote, Tyrese Maxey is here to save our collective psyches.
That
So
was great.
if you need
Great
to
piece
pick,
by you, Sean.
yeah, if you need to pick me up, please go read Sean's work and remember that drafting him 20th, teams like Miami that we're always jealous of drafted guys like Precious Achiuwa over Maxey. We couldn't have gotten him if those teams didn't make those mistakes. And it's completely turn the fortunes of this franchise around. You and I were talking in the offseason. Would you trade Maxey and all the picks for Lillard? Maxey himself has been better than Damian Lillard so far this
Yes,
year.
he has.
And I know Dame got the what is it called? Like household name votes from the fans,
Yeah.
but Maxey, Brunson obviously should have been starting for the All-Star team. Brunson has a low-key MVP case right now. But Maxey's right there, Donovan Mitchell's right there, and they were right to not trade Maxey. It's just a shame that we won't get to see Maxey and Joel over the next couple months now.
I wouldn't even call him like low key odds for Brunson. I'm just looking up on our preferred gambling site. DraftKings has Jalen Brunson MVP odds at +6,000. I'm not sh Hey, I got $5 laying around. Like I'll throw an Abraham Lincoln on Brunson for MVP.
Why not, right? Have a little fun with your
Why not?
life.
$5 bet on +6,000, that's like $300. I'll take that.
I don't hate it. Yeah, I like it.
And if it doesn't hit, then whatever. I just don't get food truck lunch that day. Whatever, it's fine. In the
Maybe we could
means,
do a GoFundMe to get you some lunch.
I'm not that desperate out here. Jesus. I am desperate for healthy players. I'm a little
Well,
bit.
Maxey's back in the lineup. He looks healthy. He torched the Jazz, and maybe he can keep this team afloat to avoid a play-in scenario until Joel can get back, and then where that sort of team where the opposing coach needs to take an Ambien the night before the series starts. Oh, this is the worst sixth seed I ever had to face.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would
The
be incredible.
scary sixth seed mentality.
Listen, how many times did Miami get to the finals doing that?
Yeah, they were from an eighth last year, weren't they?
Yeah, I think we need to stop sleeping on the bottom half of the standings here when it comes to
You
playoff
just
time.
have to get Lowry off the buyout and have him take a charge on Giannis or Tatum that injures them both. Like, that's how Miami got to the finals, right? Was it
Oh,
Kevin
yeah.
Love taking a charge on Giannis and he got hurt, and then Miami didn't have as much trouble beating him the rest of the way.
Here's hoping, right?
I'm not gonna hope for injuries, but
No, not that aspect, but you know what I
but
meant.
we yeah,
In
I know what you mean.
the meantime, read, follow the site, libertyballers.com. Read and follow us on Twitter at liberty underscore ballers. You can follow me. I'm at Adil B. Royster. David is at David Early. Listen to the other podcasts on the podcast network. That's Ball Folks and other fine recordings that we are releasing. Until next time, Dave, let's just try to keep our spirits up as best we can as we plunge through another Joel Embiid injury.
How do we do that?
God damn it, I have no idea. We should have experience doing this. We really should. I don't know why we're very well versed in how this works.
What's your go-to comfort food for moments like these?
Oh wow, that is an excellent question. I myself am a fan of just like corner store chicken fingers and fries
Ah, nice.
because it's like 7.25 and like it's good enough to get me feeling good that I've eaten something, but then it's also just like, wow,
Do you
this is.
go ketchup, barbecue, hot sauce?
Oh, I had no. Nothing from the store. I use whatever sauces I have in my house. Like
Oh, you got your own.
I usually have like some Sweet Baby Ray's Hawaiian barbecue sauce laying around,
Ooh, nice.
with some Cholula possibly.
I think I'm gonna need either some tacos or some spaghetti and meatballs or something. Just drown my sorrows in some comfort foods.
Either that or just like a nice. Like if I really want to spend money, then just like a nice healthy bowl of ramen from like a top-notch restaurant.
Ooh, yeah, right. Nice, like hot slurpy noodles in the winter on a crummy day.
Oh
That's always
yeah.
fun. That's always fun and soothing.
Perfect. All right.
Good idea.
So now I'm hungry, so now I'm gonna do that. But until next week, we'll talk to everybody later.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.